from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you see these drills the receivers are doing? Have you seen any of these videos, City Limits?
I've seen some of the blocking drills that Darnell Washington is crushing a sled, but no, I haven't seen the wide receiver drills yet.
The receivers coach with you some unique drills. They're on a chair, like a folding chair. And I can't even describe it. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It reminds me of back in the day when they used to, for special teams drills, they'd have a football on a stick.
Yes, that's what they love to do with the linebackers,
the
pass rushers, football on a stick.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Anyway, even though the Steelers are, you know, in training camp, and we love to talk about the Steelers and people love the Steelers, there's a baseball team in town that's actually captured the attention of everybody, and with good reason. Because they've played really well. They're legitimately in the wild card race. And, you know, it feels like every one of the series they play now is pretty, is really, really big. Joining us from Arizona, where the Pirates are, and they are embroiled in another big series with respect to positioning for the wild card and all the other stuff, against the Diamondbacks, is Noah Hiles. Hi, Noah. How are you?
I'm well, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. I know it's early out there. I hope we didn't wake you up and get you out of bed prematurely.
No. I woke up. I'm still on East Coast time. I think I woke up at like 5 a.m. here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. Then I don't feel so bad. Because we want to talk to you a little bit about this Arizona series coming up. First things first, we've seen, what, two or three trades over the course of the last 24 hours. With each passing trade that doesn't involve the Pirates, the level of angst and panic seems to rise among Pirates fans. Best guess, do you expect the Pirates to do anything before the end of the weekend, or do you think this is going to be one of those things where Tuesday at 4 o'clock, magically, 75 deals all come together?
I think this weekend would make sense, considering that their best hitter is going to be unavailable for the first two games of this series. They're without Reynolds, who's on the bereavement list, and they're already hunting for an outfielder. So if they're able to cut a deal and get a guy here, probably not today, but even tomorrow, that would be a help. And obviously the short term being within 24 to 48 hours, but also just that's something they already need. It's not like they're going out and getting a position that They already have Field and it's not available for the next couple of days, but they're already looking for outfielders. I think it would make sense to bring in a guy now where he can take care of Reynolds' bat that's going to be missing for potentially. I mean, Reynolds is eligible to return as early as Sunday, but we don't know how long he's going to be out. We don't know the specific details of what has led him to go on the bereavement list. So with that being said, I think it would make sense to go and get an outfield bat this weekend. Now, will that happen? I don't know. I mean, this is a front office that seems to be looking for the perfect opportunity. And while they've made a lot of calls to a lot of teams, they've looked in to a lot of players, they've yet to find somebody that is the perfect price in their eyes. So I think a deal will get done. I don't know how fast it will be, but I mean, the clock's ticking, Paul. There's only 5 days until the trade deadline comes to a close.
Yeah, so it's going to have to happen. You know, they're going to have to do something. And of course, it really, really, really makes it these next few days even far more interesting. You know, if you think about it, just because, you know, forget about the games, which I think the games are obviously really important. You're playing Arizona. But the other part of it is, I mean, we're all on trade deadline watch. Your best guess, I think they'll add at least an outfielder and a reliever. Is that probably somewhere in the neighborhood of where they're going to be?
I would say so. I think the outfield's the top priority, and I mean, every team is looking to add a reliever at this point in the year. I don't care how good your bullpen is. Everyone's looking to add at least one extra arm in case someone who's reliable goes through a slump or goes down. You have that extra arm there. I know the Pirates feel confident in Ryan Barucki, a guy that they had a lot of stock in at the beginning of this season, but based off of how long in his rehab is, I don't know when he'll be back and how valuable he'll be when he does return to the big league. So I think it would be smart for them to maybe add another left-handed reliever arm. But yeah, the priority is outfield. I mean, it's been Reynolds and it's been a whole lot of nothing else as far as offensive production goes. And a lot of these guys aren't playing great defense either, aside from Michael A. Taylor. So yeah, the outfield's got to be the main move. And as you mentioned, Paul, I mean, with the deadline, you're watching the standings, but you're also watching other teams you're competing with get better right now. And that is a little unsettling. When you're seeing other teams starting to make moves to make their roster better, you're wondering, well, what are they going to do to keep up with them in that type of race in addition to the race in the standings?
And that's the thing. They've got, you know, a couple of days to try and get this right. And, you know, there's also a lot of angst. Anytime that we go to the trade deadline, there's always a lot of angst about, oh, well, what are they going to have to give up? I mean, no, I can't stress enough how little energy I have for caring what prospects they give up. I know that, you know, it's like a cottage industry here in Pittsburgh. Among people that were really, you know, they were freaking out yesterday because someone threw, I think Mitch Jebb's name was thrown into a trade, you know, a possible trade. And they were actually people losing their minds about it. You know, these people that are on social media who like try and shout down everything when it comes to trading these guys. I mean, I doubt they're going to part ways with any of their top three or four or even five prospects. I don't even care about those five. But beyond those five, I really don't care who you throw out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's two guys that I look at. I mean, Bubba Chandler's the only guy that I don't think they should deal this deadline simply because I don't think there's a player available that would warrant him being involved in a trade package. Now, if there was, I wouldn't completely turn that idea away, but based off of what looks to be available, I don't think that it would be wise to include him just because a prospect of that magnitude isn't necessary for the deals they'll be making. Same could be said for Tamar Johnson. But after that, Paul, yeah, you look, I mean, a lot of their prospects that they'd be potentially dealing here are very similar. They're young arms. I mean, you could go to the AA guys, the Harrington, or I mean, Ashcraft's in AAA now. And those guys are probably going to be the highest rated prospects they would consider dealing. But after them, you're looking at Hunter Barco, Patrick Riley, guys like that who are your 8 to 15 type prospects. Or if you want to go with hitters, Brannigan, Mitch Jebb. I mean, all of these guys are 4 years, 3 years away from the big leagues in general. I'm not sure that some of these guys are even big league players, but they're intriguing prospects in the sense where, I mean, Pittsburgh's clearly got a nice pitching development thing going on right now. And if you see someone in their system who they deem valuable, if you're another team, maybe that's worth taking a flyer on. But yeah, I mean, with the amount of arms that A, they're adding through this current draft class that they're still working to sign and what they already have in their system, I think they can afford to give away one or two and it won't be a huge deal. Now, it's just the higher end guys, it's if you're going to give them away, you're looking for somebody who has multiple years of control. And that's okay if you want to do that. I wouldn't give away a Thomas Harrington or a Braxton Ashcraft for a rental, but if they bring in somebody who's going to be here for multiple years, that's fine. But as far as the other guys go, the guys in Greensboro and Bradenton, trade them for a rental. I mean, there's so much pitching here already that's at the big league level or close to the big league level. There are so many other guys that you could develop in that timeline where the guys in Bradenton and Greensboro, you know, you could develop other guys in the timeline that they would need to reach the big leagues.
Right. I mean, I just think that's the thing. Here's the thing. I had this discussion with somebody who was actually trying to argue with me. I said, if the Pirates gave up Chandler, Solomato, Tamar Johnson, and even Henry Davis, all four of them, and they won the World Series this year, would you be okay with that?
Yeah.
The answer was no.
I mean, that's the goal.
The answer was no.
I saw your reaction to
that.
The
answer was no.
I don't know what to tell you on that one. Yeah, there are some people who I think were very, very, very scarred by the Chris Archer trade. And that's all it comes down to is they're scarred by seeing young, talented players who are once in this system playing good baseball for other teams. And that is a tough visual. But I think that a World Series would ease those tensions. And that's just something a lot of people in this town can't compute because most of the baseball fans in this town weren't alive the last time the Pirates won a World Series. So it's hard to even fathom that being a possibility.
But the thinking is, well, you know, if you trade those guys, I mean, I'd rather the Pirates be good for the next 5 or 6 years. And if you trade those guys, it's impossible. Which is, I can't help you with that. I go back to, you know, the Kansas City Royals when they had a chance. They went out and got Johnny Cueto. They went out and got a couple of guys. They spent a bunch of money. And guess what? They were in the World Series 1 year. And they were in the World Series 1 year, and then they won the World Series the next year. And guess what? They were back as a team, you know, that was competitive and all that other stuff quicker than the Pirates, who didn't do any of that stuff because they were holding on to everybody. You never know what's going to happen year to year. You just have to basically, you know, take care of, you know, this year and you know, you don't want to be irresponsible, but if you have a shot to win, I mean, the major league team winning is the only thing that matters, isn't it?
It is. It's just a matter of, are there players available that are worthy of trading those guys? And like I said, like, I don't think it's worth, there's no one out there right now that's available that would be worth dealing a Bubba Chandler for. Like, I don't think that there's a player right now on the trade market that will be a better pro than Bubba will be. Or just even the value, and even if he's not going to be a pro in Pittsburgh, I think that Bubba, if you're going to trade him, you'd be better off waiting for the offseason to trade him because you have a larger pool of players to choose from with his value as a trade piece there. So, but I mean, if there are, I would be all for it. Like I said, like the Royals recognized an opportunity where it was worth mortgaging right. their future. And if there was a player available that could provide an impact similar to what Cueto gave to the Royals during their championship window, then absolutely they should do it. I just don't see that guy really out here on the market for the Pirates right now.
Well, I mean, the other guy we keep hearing about is Henry Davis, you know, and no, well, you can't give up on him. You can't give up on him and all the other stuff. Again, if he's got value, which he does, you've got two young catchers in Endy Rodriguez and Joey Bart. What are we talking about here?
I don't know what you do with Henry Davis. I mean, you look, I don't know what his future is here. I don't know if he's a catcher here. I don't know what he's going to look like at the plate moving forward, because, I mean, the guy always seems to hit well in AAA, but I don't know if you want to give up on him just yet, just because he's a number one overall pick, a top 100 prospect. He still is relatively young, but I don't know. And I don't think his value is really that good right now. Like, I'm not sure what you could necessarily get for him and if it would be worth trading him for a rental or even just a replacement level player with multiple years of control. Ideally, if you're going to deal Davis, it's going to be a part of a package that brings back a well above average player for multiple years. And I don't think that he has that sort of value right now on the market. So that's probably why you don't deal him. But if you can get something for him that would result in an above average player for multiple seasons, then absolutely they should look into it. I just don't know what his value is right now to other teams or even to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Right.
And I think that's why they got to kind of hang on to him to figure that question out before they make a move one way or another.
But my point is, if throwing him in is a sweetener that gets you over the top in a deal, you got to make the deal.
Yeah.
I don't.
That deal's there. They got to do it. It's just, I don't know if that deal's
right.
there.
Well, I mean, you know, if what I'm saying is, if there's a team that maybe he needs a catcher, and hey, mm-hmm. he's a former 1-1 and all that other stuff. All right, well, give me, you know, what's the guy? What's the righty's name that's outside of the top five? You know, that everyone talks
Thomas
about.
Thomas Harrington.
Give me Harrington. Yeah, give me Harrington, and. Jung Ju Jae or whatever his name is, and throw in Henry Davis and we have a deal. Yeah, good. We'll put you in a. I will pay for their cab to wherever you're to get them there today. Let's make the deal, right?
Yeah, if it's a good player, yeah. I'm not making that deal for Taylor Ward.
Cody Bellinger.
About Bellinger? What's his contract? I haven't looked into him. I don't know. I mean, that's. What's that?
I'm just saying, I was just throwing out a name.
Yeah, I mean, if it's someone, I don't know. I mean, that's a deal where I don't know if a team wants that, and B, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the Pirates
I don't know that they do either. My point is if it's a deal like that where you're dealing Harrington, you know, your 16th prospect, and they say, "All right, we'll throw Henry Davis in, we'll make it work." Yeah.
Bellinger is owed about 13 more million this year.
All right. Well, $13
million. Is it a one-year deal?
It's a one-year, $30 million deal, player option for 25 and 26.
There you have it.
Yeah, I don't think he would want to stay here, one. So I don't know if that's the deal I would make for him.
But what if it gets you over the top?
I get what you're saying, Paul. Right. If it's a player with multiple years of control that could come in and be your cleanup hitter for 25 and 26, then yeah, that's something you have to consider, absolutely.
Well, I mean...
I think that the deal that you're talking about is more likely to be made in the offseason when all teams are open for trade discussion for long-term purposes, true baseball trades, as opposed to right now, everyone's just kind of lasered in on one way to make their team better. I think that we could see a deal like that in the offseason. I don't know if that's a possibility.
I would say Randy or Rosarena.
Rosarena.
But he just got traded to the team they're playing, right? Or no, he got traded to Seattle last night, right?
Yes. As of this morning, okay. He did.
Yeah. He got traded.
So what about this, Noah? Ken Rosenthal late last night pulled out a story that the Pirates are scouting Marlins center fielder Jazz Chisholm, something that we kind of know, but also left fielder Brian De La Cruz. Which one do you think would be more likely if the Pirates were to acquire one of them?
Probably De La Cruz. I haven't looked at his deal. Obviously, Jazz has... attracted a lot more of attention here, and that's been the focus. But I mean, Jazz is an interesting case. I like the talent's there, but it's a lot of hype and not a lot of results. Like if you look at his numbers this year, he's just a league average player. So I don't think it would be worth giving up a huge prospect for just a league average player, as in Davis, but I think, yeah, you could throw in an Ashcraft and something along those lines, but I don't know what you're getting with Jazz Chisholm, point blank. I mean, this is a guy who's only played one full healthy season of baseball. It's a guy who's had an issue with getting along with his teammates, And I'm not sure that Pittsburgh would be an ideal place for him to want to come. So, I mean, if he wants to come here and he wants to play here, that's one thing. But do we know that for sure? That's something to be considered, because if he's not going to be happy here, then it's not worth going after him. But if he wants to come here, if he wants to play, and if he can keep healthy, then absolutely that would be a good acquisition to go after. But De La Cruz, I think, would be – it's going to be a lesser cost and, I mean, probably a lower ceiling, but – potentially a higher floor, and that's the type of move I think they're looking at.
How about Brent Rooker?
Rooker makes no sense here, and that's just because he's a designated hitter. And if they already have a designated hitter, Rooker is a better designated hitter than Andrew McCutchen, but that's not an area they're looking to upgrade. And
you couldn't
McCutchen
play him in right field?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I mean, he's a designated hitter. You don't acquire a designated hitter to come play in the outfield. He could occasionally, but I don't think that that's a guy you should depend on playing in the outfield for 60 games.
Luis Robert.
Robert's, I think, going to just be out of their price range, both financially and capital. I think that there's going to be a lot more teams. And the same could be said with Rooker. I think those are going to be the two most sought-after guys in the next 5 days. And there are going to be teams that are willing to pay more than the Pirates to get them. And I think that Robert's a guy where if he were to go somewhere like Philly or Atlanta, where he's not the best player on the team, where he's a guy that can be kind of protected in a lineup, that's going to serve him better. If he comes here, the pressure on him, again, guy, injury history, you don't really know how happy he would be to be here. It's a 50-50 thing. So I don't think that, I mean, Robert would make the team better, absolutely. But I just don't think that they would be willing to part ways with what other teams who are closer to a World Series would be willing to part way with to get him.
All right. I got a list here of all these guys that are on the market. That's why I'm just throwing their names out to you.
Okay.
Here's one that intrigues me. They'll never do it, ever. Ever. They'll never do it. Isaac Paredes. From Tampa Bay, third baseman, power hitting third baseman, guy that probably they could get with a reasonable return. I don't think it would be a king's ransom to get him. I know they wouldn't do it because Cabrian Hayes, you know, makes $7 million or whatever, but the guy's got a back issue. It's pretty clear he's not 100%. It's pretty clear too, as long as he's not 100%, he's not helping them at the plate. I mean, he gets a single here and there for the most part, but in terms of being able to turn on a ball and change a game, I don't know that we'll see that much at all the rest of the year. Turn Cabrian Hayes into a late-game defensive replacement for your infielders and bring in a third baseman. How about that?
No, but there are other guys on the Rays that I'd look at. Ahmed Rosario is a guy that I think would be an intriguing pickup. And he's not a crazy great bat, but I think his defensive versatility makes him kind of like a really solid 10th man that Jared Triolo really isn't. I mean, he's still an above average bat. He can play multiple positions in the middle infield and the outfield. He's a rental player, so it wouldn't require a lot to get him. That would be a guy that I would look at, or even Richie Palacios, Josh Palacios' brother. He would be more of a long-term investment. He's still really young, has multiple years of control on his deal, but I think you could maybe do like a Palacios for Priester straight up, and you're trading for a young outfielder for a young pitcher, and both of them have similar control left on their deals. And again, it's you're not adding a huge difference maker, but that's a league average bat with some speed and defensive versatility, all things that could help the Pirates.
No, there's no question about it. I'll give you one more name, then I'll let you go.
All right.
Mason Miller.
Well, I mean, he just broke his wrist punching a training table.
Right. How long is he out?
I don't know. And then I was watching some video of their manager talking about it, because it's not his non-throwing hand. But, I mean, he's in a cast right now. So I don't think he's going to be available. And the trade packages that I've heard offered for him through conversations we've had with people around Oakland have been absolutely nuts. So I know the Yankees were really high on him, and they offered – a lot. I don't think that that's something the Pirates would be willing to go after, especially, you know, I mean, they're set in the bullpen to begin with. It would make them a lot better of a team, but that's a guy that you're probably going to have to trade away your top three prospects to get right now. And again, he's probably not available anymore because he just broke his wrist and he's not going to be playing until September.
Well, then we wouldn't want him. I thought it was something that he'd be back within a week or something. He'd be fine. But if he's not going to be here until September, you wouldn't want him on your team.
He said he can't even put a glove on for the next couple of weeks. Right. So that's, you need that to play baseball.
So basically what we're talking about is, there just doesn't seem to be that many really all that intriguing guys on the market.
No,
unless you're willing to put big money, or I'm sorry, you know, unless you're willing to put together a big package of prospects and whatnot, there's just not that many people.
A big package of prospects for someone who is immensely underproven. If we're talking about Jazz or Luis Robert, I mean, these guys have had one good big league season. Is it worth giving away three of your top five prospects for a guy who's had one good big league season? I don't know. So, yeah, the market's just – it's not very good right now. I would look for rentals just based off of what's available. You would have hoped that other teams who were in the mix kind of fell out of contention and would look to be sellers, but there's maybe 5-6 true sellers right now and the rest of the league's looking to add. So it's just an unfortunate kind of scenario for the Pirates.
Well, I mean, if you go through it, here's the way I would look at it. Anybody that's within four games of the wild card are probably, at least should be, looking to be buyers. So that leaves us with the Rangers, the Tigers, the Blue Jays, the Angels, the A's, the White Sox, the Giants, the Cubs, the Nationals, the Rockies, and Marlins. So it's starting to open up a little bit in terms of the number.
I'll give you one intriguing name that if I were in the front office, I would be willing to deal multiple top prospects for. If Detroit's going to blow it up and trade Skubal, which there have been talks about, the Dodgers are really going heavy on him. I'd go after Riley Green, their outfielder. Young guy, multiple years of control, their best hitter on the team. That would be a guy that I would give up multiple prospects, multiple big prospects. I would give up a lot to get Riley Green. Now, there's been no discussion at all about him being on the market. But if Detroit's going to trade Skubal, which has been a conversation, that indicates that they're probably going to blow it up and start it all over again. And after Skubal, probably the most valuable player on that team would be Green. And that would be a huge trade package to acquire him, but assuming Detroit's looking to sell, that would probably be the most intriguing guy for the Pirates to even look at. I don't know if they've looked at him. My guess would probably be not. I don't know if he's even available. My guess would probably be not. But if I had to circle one guy who would be worth giving away a big group of prospects and maybe a big leaguer or two, that would be someone I'd consider.
Yeah, okay. Well, we will see how it all plays out. I mean, again, the more I read about all of this and hear about all this, the less excited I am about the trade deadline, though, to be honest. Is anyone on the Nationals that you would consider?
Yeah, Jesse Winker is probably the most ideal guy for the Pirates to go get. He'd be a rental, but this is a guy who is an above league average bat. You could play him in left field. He's their cleanup hitter. And so the way I look at it is you go acquire him. He's a rental outfielder. You play him in left. You can move Reynolds to either right or center. And you bat him cleanup. You move Gonzalez lower down in the batting order. And now you have a more complete lineup. I think that's the big thing the Pirates need to achieve in the next 5 days is finding a bat or two bats that complete their lineup. Right now, 1-5 is solid. They're missing a little bit of power in the middle of the order, but they really need to address those bottom three spots in the batting order. And if you can go out and get just a couple of league average hitters for low cost and put them somewhere in the order that makes 7, 8, 9 more consistent and not just 3 automatic outs like they've often been this year, that makes your team better. And now you're relying on O'Neill Cruz and Brian Reynolds to be the heavy hitters and everyone else to just kind of pick up the slack and be decent on the rare off days that those two are having.
Okay, I'm going to give you one more. This is one of my fantasy. This is me being, you know, I'll give you one more.
Okay.
I'm going to package together Tamar Johnson, which you already hate it.
Okay. I don't hate it. I need to know what you're getting.
And Salamato.
Okay.
And Henry Davis.
Okay.
For Brenton Doyle.
For who?
For Brenton Doyle from the Rockies.
I think that's a pretty big overpay. I think that's a big overpay.
He's 280, 343, 479, 822 OPS, right? He's got 17 home runs and 51 RBI. And here's the best part about it, because you seem to love this and you should. He's got 2 more pre-arbitration years, which means you've got him under control for the next 5 seasons. And he's a center fielder.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing with this.
I don't know that the Rockies would get rid of him because he's making $700,000 and he's got pre-arbitration, which is why you have to overpay. But that's the kind of thing I always say.
And maybe it's not an overpay. Maybe I was wrong there because I don't know what Salamato's trade value is right now because he's had a very, very bad year.
Right.
And to the point where they made him stop playing baseball for a little bit. So I don't know what his value is. Doyle is a guy, I'll be honest, I hadn't really considered him in the mix.
But that's gonna be a
costly guy. So it would be a package like you throughout there, but yeah, maybe there's so many names, Paul. Hard to keep track of everybody that you could go after, but you know what? Sure. If you want Doyle, go get him.
My point is here's a guy who's already at the major league level, right? Who's basically a prospect, but he's already at the major league level. He has 17 home runs, 51 RBI and an 822 OPS. And he's a center fielder and you'd have him under control for 5 more years. If you know what I mean?
Why would Colorado want to give him up?
That's why I prefaced it by saying this is flights of fantasy, but I look at the Rockies. I've looked at all these rosters and say, who would I want from these teams? And then I was like, okay, well, this is a guy I want. Then I looked at his contract status and said, well, there's no way they're going to trade him unless someone knocks the socks off with him. But my point is you've got Tamar Johnson, right, who might be a good player 3 years from now or 2 or 3 years from now. And you're going to get a guy who already is a good player who you still have 5 years of control with. I don't know what I mean. To me, I don't care if Tamar Johnson becomes Barry Bonds when he comes. You know, it doesn't matter to me because you're going to have a really good player for the next 5 years, hopefully with Skeens, Keller, and Jones over the next 3 years. You know, if you have a good enough lineup, you should have a shot over the next 3 or 4 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, if Tamar Johnson is going to be Barry Bonds, I would suggest they hold on to him. But, yes, I hear your overall point. Doyle would be – I'll be honest. I mean, Doyle's a guy who, when I started looking into this trade stuff, he wasn't someone that popped on my radar. But just looking at his stuff now, I mean, yeah, I don't know why you would trade him if you're Colorado. That's somebody – when you're in a rebuild, that's your rebuilding piece. He's super young, looking promising. But I mean, if they can go get him, that's the type of player, sure, that you would potentially want to throw a big package toward. But I don't know if either side would be willing to be that aggressive over someone who's young, has so much control, and that would be a big gamble on both sides.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Noah, we're way over. Thank you so much, buddy. And we will do it again soon.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quarterback pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right. A little bit more Wind and Fire, good for your soul, right? Baseball, football, hockey coverage on the Fan presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you can get a ton of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon using their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet at Sun Chevy's Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 83 today with sunny skies. We've got Chris P. coming up at what time?
About 12:40.
Okay, 12:40. So we got Chris Peake coming up in this hour, but we also have
Bob Walk at one.
Huge
series for the Buccos in Arizona.
And I just saw a trade come by, and this is what I really hate about this time of year is you don't want to get duped by fake accounts. But I actually think it came from a real account.
What's the trade?
The Red Sox have acquired James Paxton from the Dodgers.
That is a real trade. That is confirmed. I've seen it, yes.
Okay, so that actually has happened.
That has actually happened.
Why are they trading him?
The Dodgers are trading Paxton, and today is the first day Clayton Kershaw comes off the injured list for the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are also, they've had a ton of pitchers hurt.
Right.
And they're starting to get healthier, so they're just kind of unloading some salary and unloading a player that they really don't have much use for. At least that's the way I'm reading
it. I got it. My thing is, you're a contender. You could put that guy in the bullpen, couldn't you, a little bit? Of course,
you could, especially as a lefty.
I'm talking, you know, this is a guy where, you know, you have to look deeper into his numbers. He's 8-2, but he's got a 1.46 whip. What do you think of that?
Not great.
Not great, you think?
Not good.
Let's see what the batting average against is.
Yeah, 4.43.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay. The Red Sox probably need a starter, right? I mean, that's why they're making this deal.
Yeah, and they're a couple games over 500 as well, about 5 or 6.
So they're in, you know. But you look at James Paxton, you know, I don't know.
2.46, the opponent average this year.
4.43 ERA. Okay. It makes more sense to me now. I mean, he's expendable. If Clayton Kershaw is coming off the list, then he's expendable.
And they're going to get Yamamoto back and some of the other arms that they have.
Right. That makes more sense to me then, I guess.
But that's three trades now in less than 24 hours. We're really starting to see it ramp up before Tuesday.
And that's the big thing about the whole deal. And this is what I said before, and I know, and people didn't want to hear this, and people shouted me down and told me I was stupid and all the other stuff that people say. Man, if you're the Pirates and you're really serious, you might have to get into a situation where you sort of overpay a little bit to make one of these deals before it all gets started. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially because, I mean, one of the guys, Randy Arozarena, would he have been acquired by the Pirates? I don't know. But an outfield bat, you could have went out and got him, and Seattle jumped the gun with a very aggressive GM early. And they got him before the bidding war really took place on the last day. So, I mean, commend Seattle for that. That might be what the case is. Who knows what the holdup might be on Rooker or Taylor Ward, who I think everybody's kind of fallen off on because he's been awful the last 2 months.
Yeah, he has been, for real.
And he can't stay healthy the last couple of years as well. Hasn't been great. But, I mean, Jazz Chisholm seems like the guy that everyone's targeting. John Heyman of the New York Post and MLB Network said that that's who he thinks the Pirates are going to get. Like, made his predictions where everyone will land, and he said the Pirates are likely going to get Jazz Chisholm if he moves.
Right.
De La Cruz is an interesting one. He's got 3 years left.
I wonder if they can get two.
Chisholm and?
Yeah.
De La Cruz.
Like, what would that take? What would that look
like?
Yeah,
that would probably take Termar Johnson, Salamedo, and another piece.
Yeah.
I just don't see any world where they trade Henry Davis this year. Not that, like, unless somebody, like, really demands it, like, hey, Jazz Chisholm, we need Henry Davis instead of this piece. I don't think that they feel it's in their best interest to trade Henry Davis at this point.
No, I would agree. But in order to make one, you know, maybe some of these bigger.
Yeah. I think the player that they could have in Henry Davis, if they actually figure it out with him, and remember, Nick Gonzalez came up last year and was not very good. He hit like 200 for a lot of the season when he was up, and has come up this year, and look at how productive of a player he is. And I know Davis did come up last year too, and whatever injuries and everything. Keeping Henry Davis and him developing is going to be more beneficial for the Pirates than whatever they can get for Henry Davis in a package of 3 prospects.
Well,
as a number 1 overall pick and the upside that he has.
Right. Again, if it brings in somebody that's going to help you win, I don't care what he becomes 3 years from now. I just
right.
don't.
That's why I think there's a lot of other pieces that are expendable in this farm system.
My thing is, I look at the way, for instance, the Penguins have done things. And for 8 years, 7, 8 years, you know, we were told, well, they've mortgaged their future. And the bottom line is, it wasn't until the last 2 years that it's finally started to catch up to them. But for 7 or 8 years, they won a couple of Stanley Cups. They were contenders. They were, you know what I mean?
Well, they also had the luxury of being able to trade draft picks, which you can't do in baseball.
Yeah. But I'm saying, what I mean is, but there were a lot of people, well, you can't trade draft picks. I mean, you're mortgaging the future. You got prospects and draft picks, prospects and draft picks. But what the Penguins have said and what the Steelers have said consistently, we'll figure it out next year. We're going to try and do something this year.
I think
that's the only thing that bothers me about the Pirates is far too often they're able to convince themselves and everyone else that if we hold on to all these guys, then we're going to be good for 5 years as opposed to 1.
I think it's probably, and I mean, you can't prove it, but it's probably easier to trade draft picks than it is to trade prospects, like it's been for the Penguins. And I wonder if, you know, the prospect, holding on to the prospect syndrome that Joe always likes to say, prospect derangement syndrome, it's probably easier to trade a draft pick, somebody that you've not already selected and put a bunch of time into and know how good that they can be, compared to a prospect like an Anthony Salamedo, who you went through all those hoops with drafting Henry Davis #1 and giving him extra money over slot, and Termar Johnson, and all the, he's the best prep hitter we've seen in years.
I look at teams like Tampa and Florida, you know, and they seem to do it with prospects every single year.
Yeah, all the time.
They seem to
smart trades.
They seem to trade guys and get prospects back all the time.
That's what they did for Arozarena. I mean, is that these next 2 guys going to turn into future starters?
That's what they try and do. And you know, the bottom line is they have a chance to make themselves better, you know. And I feel like it's one of those things where if it means a slight overpay, you got to do it. If it means you got to give up, you know, you better throw in the 16th prospect into the, you know, back end of this deal to make it happen, or else what goes else?
Well, and how about the Arozarena deal? So Seattle gave up their number 12 and their number 22 overall prospect. That's like the Pirates trading Hunter Barco, the lefty, who a lot of people like. Okay, give up Michael Kennedy, the 18-year-old lefty, whatever.
Exactly.
Give up him. There's a player to be named also in there, which might be a top 30 guy. And then I don't even know who the other guy was that would basically equate to the Pirates system. You're not giving up much at all.
Right.
For the equivalent of like a Randy Arozarena. So I can't imagine that Jazz Chisholm is going to cost too much more. It's like trading Hunter Barco and Jesus Castillo, a utility infielder, and he's hitting 141 for the Pirates, so they probably wouldn't give up something like that. But somebody in that range of 20 to 30 plus a top 15 guy or a top 10 guy.
Yeah.
And you get yourself Jazz Chisholm and maybe even another bat. Or maybe you throw in another top 15 guy and you bring Tanner Scott over, the closer, for Miami.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.